own had been taken at Dunkirk, and he'd marched in, and he'd built quite a bit of that camp. And he used to say to me, "Wim, get yourself a good pair of shoes, get them broke in, and then keep them." Well, shoes came in, maybe I waited a year or a year and a half, and I got a pair of boots and broke them in and saved them, and that's what I started to walk out with. And by the time I patent preed this, I was walking on my bare feet. The soles were completely gone.
Wow.
Yeah. So they had a lot of cobblestone roads in Germany, and you get it wet and snow, and those cobblestone roads are dynamite on leather shoes.
They'd be slipping.
Yeah. We could hear a rumble in the camp, and we heard it for a day or two, way up rumble, and then it got louder, and it got louder, and then we got orders from the Germans to be 24 hours ready to take off. And then we got put on 4-hour standby. And the one day they came in, and in the meantime, they brought in the working parties from the country all around. And there was 26,000 men attached to our camp, but more than half of them were out on working parties. And they brought them all in, and then now we were like sardines. It was guys on the table, nice guys sleep under the table, and all the, it was just really crowded. And then we got the orders to march, and I don't know what time we took off, maybe 3 p.m. And what they did was they assembled 1,500 people, marched them out, and away they went. Then they assembled another 1,500 people, and they went on a different route. And that had happened in most of the day, and our group took off about 3:00, and they marched us 35 kilometers that first day. And that they had killed some of the guys off that hadn't been walking and exercising. And that was real tough on a lot of guys. I saw guys the next day, blisters on their heels, that big around, trying to get their shoes on so they could march again. But I was pretty good that way.
Yeah.
And then we got into a big snowstorm, a blizzard, and I came from Western Canada, so I said to the fellas, it was 4 of us, decided we'll stick together and we'll share everything. And I said to the fellas, take your shoes off and stick them inside your jacket, and then we can get them on in the morning.
Oh,
next morning there was dozens of guys. Boots were frozen so hard.
Yeah.
They packed their boots and walked barefoot till they could get them thawed out inside the
coat. And who were your 4 guys? Who were your group? Do you remember the names of your group?
Yeah. Hawkins and Mayho and Thornhill. They were all English chaps.
Okay.
But anyway, Hawkins had been filled pretty bad with shrapnel. Just before he bailed out, they got hit pretty hard. And he had shrapnel pieces in his back. And every once in a while in the camp, one would work loose. And he'd go through agony, and then he was fine. And we'd only been marching a few days, and one of these things started to move and fester. And we stopped for a rest, and we contacted a French working party, and they said they'd look after him, and they did, and he got out later than we did, but anyway, he got home.
Wow.
So then the 3 of us stuck together, and we did anything we got, we shared. And one day Dizzy Mayho, that was what we called him, only Mayho in the whole British phone book. Real uncommon name, but anyway, Dizzy was so sick, he says he couldn't go on. So Dick and I split his little bit of stuff that he was carrying, and we took a side each, and we helped him along all day. And the next day he'd recoup some so he could go on his own steam. That was fine. And a few days later, we had dysentery so bad, and then we had a kind of a bug going around. I don't know if it was flu or what. But I just couldn't scratch her. They did the same for me. They took my outfit and they walked me one day, and the next day we had a rest, which was a boon for me. Then I could keep going.
Wow.
We never had to help Dick. He was a skinny Englishman, but anyway, we all three got out.